Josh didn't know we were going to talk about praying promises this evening. And so he brought that wonderful song, which perfect lead to what we want to pray about tonight. Now I want you to open up your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It's basically the verse that Josh was singing. We were just singing that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Somebody that could read it with a loud voice. Got it? Is there children's church? Yeah, okay. We're releasing the children in their respective classrooms? Yeah, I'm going to eventually need it. I start dry and finish wet. Thank you, Josh. I want you all to read it in your Bible right now. Just read that verse. Somebody's going to read it out loud, but I want you to look it up. It's important that you look it up. It's even more important for you to either highlight it, underline it, make a notation of it. Because sometimes we get weary and we quit. And I felt this as we were praying at the beginning. That sometimes we quit just when the answer to our prayer is about to manifest. And it's because we're praying, but our prayers are void of scripture. They're void of the promises of God. And so we come and we bring God, you know, a list of what we need, what we want. We bring him a list of our aspirations. And our dreams and so forth and so on. But our prayers, in many ways, are disaligned with the will of God because they're not founded on the word of God. And so that verse, somebody read it. Ken? Ken? Okay. All of God's promises have been what? Fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Now this explains what I just shared before. God has given us a check. He signed it. But we haven't cashed it. Because we're not even aware. I guarantee you, if you were to do a deep cleansing of all your nooks and cranny in your home, if you were to search every purse, including purses that you have, God knows from years ago that you don't even know you have them. If you went into your garage, I guarantee you, you're going to find treasure that you didn't even know you had. Yet it's yours, but you don't know you have it, so you haven't cashed it in. Right now, somebody did a research, and they said that there's over $41 billion of unclaimed money in bank accounts, in safe deposit boxes, all throughout the world. Billion dollars. People that were left inheritance, they don't even know they have it. People who died and never gave the inheritance to anyone, and so that money or whatever it is that they have is just sitting, waiting for someone to claim it. In California, there was a survey done, and what was found was that there's over $4.1 billion in gift cards and other items that could be cashed in, either for money or that you can use to purchase something. $4.1 billion. Could you imagine what I would do if I could go and collect all the gift cards that people didn't know they had? I finance the kingdom right now. I would finance every endeavor, not only that we want to do, but any church throughout the world wants to do. I could do a lot with $4.1 billion. And I'm not thinking about getting a better house. I'm not thinking about getting a better car. I'm thinking about kingdom. If we could get a hold of that, we'd be able to finance and just not even have to rely, not have anyone in the church rely on the government. We'd be able to sustain and support one another. That's a lot of money that's been unclaimed. That's what happens here. All the promises, it says that in Christ there, yes, meaning that Christ already, with his sacrifice on the cross, with his resurrection, he already signed for us to take hold of every one of those promises and make it ours. Now, what those promises are waiting is for us to say, amen. What that means, amen, means it is true. Let it be so. But we can't say amen to the promises that we don't know we have. And so that's why a lot of times we pray and we pray and we pray, but we see no answer to our prayers because our prayer are just vain repetitions or just words void of foundation. Foundation is the promises of God, the word of God. And so what I desire for us to do and to start practicing, we already got into the mode of reading the word, being disciplined into reading the word of God. And we're hoping that we could read it from Genesis to Revelation by the end of the year. Amen? That's what we're going for. That's what we're targeting. So we're getting into a habit of reading the word of God. Now I believe God is challenging us to another level. And that is, don't simply read the word of God. Take hold of the word of God. Claim the word of God. Pray the word of God. Speak the word of God over your situation, over your circumstances, over your life, over your family. And speak to it believing that Christ already signed the form of approval for you to claim and stand on those promises. Now, the one thing that we have to understand is that sometimes between the promise and the fulfillment, there's a time where God expects us to tarry, to wait. Caleb got a promise when he was 40 years old. He received the promise that God was going to give him his inheritance within the promised land. 45 years later, this brother stands and he claims his promise and he says, listen, I've stood and I've lived the last 45 years waiting and tarrying on this promise. I haven't given up. I haven't quit. I ain't going nowhere. I'm here to claim what God promised me 40 years ago. And the Bible says that at the age of 85, he got what he promised. Now, I'm not telling you that your promises are going to take 45 years to be fulfilled, or your prayers are going to take 45 years to be answered. But what I'm saying is there's an element of tarrying that we have to discipline ourselves to embracing. There's something beautiful in us learning to wait on God. As a matter of fact, when we wait on God and then we see the fulfillment of the promise, we look back, man, and we rejoice. We are amazed. How is it that God, we might forget, somebody else might forget what God has spoken of our lives, but God never forgot. He's just waiting on us to claim it for however long it takes. If we believe it, we pray it, we speak it, we accept it, we claim it, we tarry, meaning that we are not going to give up. Sister Evelyn was just praying here, confessing how many times she had doubts. But the fact that she said that here is saying that she's still tarrying. Because it doesn't mean that there's not going to come moments in our lives when we're not going to doubt. There's going to be times when we're going to doubt. Remember, one of the things that the devil does is he bombards our minds with lies. And so that's why knowing the promises of God, speaking the promises of God, believing the promises of God, declaring the promises of God is like a counter-terrorism. It's a counter-defense against the continuous terrorizing of the devil trying to convince us that it's not going to happen. Because that's really what he tries to do. He tries to terrorize us. And he continues to bombard us with doubts and doubts. And every day that passes by and we don't see the fulfillment, the devil says, okay, another opportunity, another day that I could, another little bit of mold that I could put on this hill. And though it looks like a mold hill, eventually I'll get him to see that it's not possible. And so he's trying to make us give up. But while we continue to read the promises of God, while we continue to pray the promises of God, while we continue to declare the promises of God, what we're telling the devil is we ain't going to believe your lie. It don't matter how long it takes. Years, months, whatever can pass by. But if God said it, then he's going to do it. Because it says that all the promises of God that God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And so it is our responsibility to claim them and say amen to the glory of God. Somebody look up John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And go to verse 14 and 15. Again, write these verses down. Take hold of them. Pray over them. Pray them into your life. Amen. And don't allow the enemy to rob you of these truths, which are powerful. They are powerful. Who can read 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15? And if I stop you in the way, I might want to just interject something. Okay. Okay, hold on. This is the confidence that we... How many know that in order for you to get something from God, you have to trust God? You have to trust him. You can't pray and ask God for something that you're not believing he can do. That's foolish, right? That's a waste of your time. So this is the confidence that we have. What is it? Okay. So what is the confidence? The confidence that we need in order for God to answer our prayer is that we must align our prayer requests with his will. If we ask anything according to his will, then it produces in us the confidence that we need to then pray and do what? Next verse. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask. So let's turn the verse around. So we know the will of God because the will of God is revealed in what? The Word of God. The will of God contains the promises of God. This is what we get when we get into the Word of God and we take hold of the promises of God. It develops in us the confidence, the trust, so that then we can ask God according to his will and know that whatever we ask according to his will, he will hear us. And if he hears us, how many know God is not just in the business of just listening to us and then, No, if he hears us, hearing us means that he moves on our behalf to answer what it is that we're asking of him. So I've concluded, based on my interpretation of this verse, that many of my unanswered prayer have been because I've lacked the confidence because I have not searched the promises of God before I've directed my prayer to God. So you can pray for healing from now to kingdom comes. But unless you get a hold of the promises of God that are aligned with the topic of healing, and unless you begin to change your prayer language and stop from just babbling and repeating stuff that you heard from other people, but you start repeating to God what he's spoken in regards to healing, that produces a new confidence. And when you pray, then he's going to hear you and he heals. Now, how many of you, and including myself, how many of us have prayed for something for a long period of time and we don't see the answer? And we've even lost, you know, loved ones, you know. And I'm wondering, and this is not to judge anyone, but as I studied this verse and I saw it, I got that perspective from this verse, that the confidence doesn't come first. What comes first is my discipline to get into the promises of God, and those promises build in me confidence. I wonder how many things I could have avoided and stopped the devil from carrying out simply because my prayer was not in alignment with the will of God, because I didn't know the will of God. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You have no excuse for finding out what are the promises of God for anything, because they sell books of promises. You don't even have to buy the books. Just go on Google. Google promises of God. Then if you want to look for the promises of God in regards to salvation of your loved one, promises of God concerning the salvation of my loved one, you're going to get 1,500 pages. And some of them are just repeating the same promises. Others have different promises that the one doesn't have. I'm telling you, we have an incredible resource available to us that if we use it for the right reasons, then it's going to have an impact in our prayers. And we're going to see more answered prayers. Yes.
Solomon says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant the desire of your heart.
So delight in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart. So when you delight in the Lord, what are you delighting in? The will of God. You're finding out the will of God. And so you're aligning your will to the will of God. That produces that delight that then produces God giving us the desires of our heart. Now, he ain't going to give you the desires of your heart if your heart is not aligned to God's heart. Because if he does that, he would literally destroy you. He would set you on a path of self-destruction. He would set you on a path of self-destruction. If he gave us everything that our heart desire, that's not aligned with the heart and the will of God, we wouldn't be here tonight. We would either be lost or we would be 6 feet on the ground and our soul would be in hell. But thank God that he doesn't give us every desire of our heart, but his desire is to give us the desires of our heart that are aligned with his will and his desire. Amen. Did you finish reading those two verses, Tammy? Yeah. Okay, so somebody look up Romans 10:17. And that's a simple one. We've spoken about that recently, and it's a verse that you all know. Romans 10:17. What does it say?
You can read in Spanish and nobody reads in English.
Así que la fe es por el oír y el oír por la palabra de Dios.
So therefore, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Now, do you see how these three verses align? What is it? No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And they are amen in us. In other words, we claim it, we believe it. Those promises, we have to align our hearts with those promises. The only way we could align our hearts with those promises is discovering what those promises are. And they are in the Word of God. So faith, confidence that we need for our prayers to be answered, for God to give us the desires of our heart, it comes through faith. Faith comes through hearing and the hearing of the Word of God. 7,959 promises in Scripture. Over 3,000 of them are in the New Testament. That means that the balance are in the Old Testament. Now, I want you to understand, when you read the promises of God, there's some promises that were meant for a particular group of people, and they were meant for a particular age. So it's not about just reading the promises and just claiming all of them. There's some promises that are strictly for the people of Israel. And so you can't claim promises for you that God made strictly for the people of Israel. Amen? So even as you read the promises, you have to read them and ask the Spirit of God to lead you, to guide you, so that you would understand what promises are in the Bible that are applicable to us. And claim and stake those promises and make them ours. But there's 7,959 promises in the Word of God. If you were to pray one of those promises every day, it would take you 22 years. 7,959 promises. If you were to say, I just want to pray one each day, it would take you 22 years. I don't even know if I'm going to be around in 22 years. So, again, Caleb prayed for 45 years, and he waited. Now, promises that are in the Word of God, they predict the answers to prayer. Promises in the Word of God predict the answers to prayer. Why? Tammy just read it. And all of you that read those verses, you read them. Because we know, if we know the promises of God, we know that His promises are yes in Christ Jesus and amen through us for the glory of God. So, promises predict the answers to prayer. They are the molds into which our prayers are poured. Now, if you have just lived a life of praying, but not knowing the promises of God, that's like pouring any kind of liquid, gold, let's say gold. You pour gold in the mold of a ring to make a ring. That's like pouring valuable material, just pouring it on the ground and throwing it to waste. Because the promises are, again, they're the mold into where our prayers are poured into. Meaning, the answer that God is going to give us is being molded as we pray. How many have heard the term bowl, harp and bowl? You know, when we pray, the Bible says that God stores our prayers. He takes our prayers. And then when it's time to answer, it's like He turns that bowl of prayers or that mold and He pours it back to us in answered prayer. So prayer, as we pour prayer into the promises of God, as we pray the promises of God, we're pouring into a mold that in return is going to give us the answer that we need. Amen? This is what makes our praying different from the prayers of many other religions. In a very sense, we pray from the answer, not for the answer. Let me repeat that. We pray from the answer, not for the answer. How could you pray from the answer? Because the answer are in the promises of God, and we took hold of the promises of God. So these are the answers. This is what God promised. This is already a yes when it comes to Jesus. So we're praying the answer, not for the answer. We're praying from the answer. Stepping in faith, believing and waiting and not giving up until we see the response to our prayer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added on to you. Amen. Great verses. Great verses. All right. So, this is what the promises of God are like. Jeremiah chapter 39. And I'm not going to read all the verses. You could write the verses down, 19 through 27. Just write them down. I'm just going to give you a resume of what the verses contain. Jeremiah 39, 19 through 27. The Lord says that His promises to David are as steadfast as sunrise and sunset. And so in verse, He says, if you can break My covenant, and He's telling this to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is questioning God. Huh? No, Jeremiah 33, verses 19 through 27. I'm sorry. Jeremiah 33, verses 19 through 27. Again, I'm not going to read the whole portion. But He says, if you can break My covenant with the day. He's talking to Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah is questioning God. He's saying, listen, I see all this calamity. I see all this stuff happening to Israel. Israel is at the, and basically what you spoke and what you sent me to speak to this people is basically total annihilation and destruction. So how can, you know, how can this be? If you promise that you would sustain these people, that you will be your people, if you promise, you made promises to David. So this is what God tells him. He says, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, can be broken. But then in verse number 19, he says, God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Again, how many of you have the ability to stop the sun from rising tomorrow morning? Anybody here has the ability to do that? Anyone here has the ability to stop the sun from setting tomorrow? And I mean, only one person in scripture through prayer was able to cause God to stop everything simply so that he could defeat the enemy in battle. So he wanted the day to be prolonged. The Bible says that Joshua prayed and the day was prolonged. That's the only person in the Bible that I've heard that is able to do something like that. And it was for one incident, one situation that God needed to intervene so that they can overcome the enemy. Never again has it happened because nobody has that kind of authority. None of us here have the kind of authority to stop the sun from rising tomorrow or want to have a longer day and say, you know something, sun, stay put. You're not going down. None of us have that. And so God is saying, because none of you have that, and the sun is going to rise tomorrow, and the sun is going to set tomorrow night, and it's setting right now, because that's something that you can't stop, in that same manner, you can't keep me from fulfilling my promise. Meaning, what I promise, I'm going to bring it to pass, even if I have to raise it out of ashes. Even if Israel is burned to ashes, even if they're destroyed and forgotten and scattered, trust you me that out of those ashes, I'm going to raise up a people and I'm going to continue to extend the kingdom that I promised to my son David because of my promises. That's amazing. When God promises something, man, there's nothing we can do to keep it from coming to pass. If we believe it, nothing you can do to keep it from coming to pass. All right. And then we're going to get into a set of prayers. I just want to share something that D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody, he wrote. It was an experience that he had when it came to prayer. And so some of the language he uses is kind of old English, so if for some reason you don't understand a word, take out your phone and write it down. Google it. Sometimes when I read these things, I'm there with my phone Googling. What does it mean? So this is what he says in regards to prayer. He says, each word of God can be traced back to a kneeling form. Speaking about prayer. Tarry at a promise and God will meet you there. In other words, wait for that promise, no matter how long it takes, and trust God with that promise and pray that promise and remind God of that promise, not because he's senile, not because he has dementia, not because he has Alzheimer's, not because he's getting old and he's losing his mind. You don't remind him for that. There's something about us telling God and repeating to God the promises. It brings honor to him. Because what he says is, if you took my word that seriously, if you took it to that extent where you took hold of what I spoke and now you are repeating it to me, then that means you value my word. If you value my word, you honor me. If you honor me, then I'm going to honor you by responding and answering to your prayer. So, tarry at a promise and God will meet you there. Early in the ministry, I had an experience which completely changed my understanding of prayer. What a transformation. I was called to start churches and had just discovered the prayer meeting truth in the book of Acts. So I started a prayer meeting, the first one I ever attended. So he's called, check this out. He's called to start churches. And the first prayer meeting that he ever attended was the one that he started based on a sample from the book of Acts when he started his first church. Now, you know how many people, they pray, but they don't know, they can't attend a church that even has a prayer service? Because prayer is no longer important in the church. The house that was supposed to be called a house of prayer is no longer a house of prayer. And so people go to church, but the last thing they go for is to pray. And churches know that people are bored, they're distracted, they're not interested in prayer. And so what churches have done is they remove prayer and they replace prayer with everything else that's entertaining. Now, Moody was a believer, but yet the first prayer meeting that he attended doesn't mean that he didn't pray. He prayed. He was a praying man. But the first prayer gathering that he attended was the one that he started when he opened up his first church. He says, one night, an elderly man entered in to the prayer meeting. But when he started to pray, I detected something new. I have never heard praying like that. This is Moody speaking. It was not fervency. Because Moody says, I have plenty of that. So it was not the man's fervency that fascinated Moody, because Moody said, I have plenty of fervency. He says, the Holy Spirit right here, it was the Holy Spirit right here in action, giving this man assurance of the answer even while he was praying. Now, he's talking about this person that he says he started to pray in a different way. He never heard anyone pray like that. He says he felt the Holy Spirit right there, giving this man assurance of the answer while he was still praying. When I prayed, God was way out there. Moody's saying about my prayer. When I pray, I felt like God was way out there, listening to me from a distance somewhere. The answer, too, was at a distance, totally unreachable. And then I discovered this as I'm listening to this man pray. He says, eager to learn his secret, I went to see him one day. His name was Ambrose Whaley, and everyone called him Uncle Am. He was a retired blacksmith. He was also a Methodist lay preacher, meaning a street evangelist. I soon came to the point, Uncle Am, I would love to pray with you. At once he arose and he led me outside across the driveway into a red barn, up a ladder, into a haystack. There in some old hay lay two big Bibles. One was open. What is this? I thought. I first prayed as I recall it. I pour out my heart. I pour out my needs. I pour out my burdens, my wishes, my aspirations, my ambitions to God. And then the elderly man prayed. And there was that difference again. There in that hay, on our knees, at eye level, I said, Uncle M, what is this? What is it? You have some kind of secret in praying. Would you mind sharing it with me? Moody says, I was 25 years old. He was 73. And when I asked him that question with an eagle look in his eyes, he said, young man, learn to plead the promises of God. That did it. My praying has never been the same since. That word completely changed my understanding of prayer. It really revolutionized it. I saw it as soon as he said it. So what? Well, when I pray, there was fervency, but I lack faith. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Let me repeat that. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Has anyone gone to your house and you go crazy looking for the keys? But I put them in my purse, I put them in my pocket. I had that happen to me the other day because I don't carry a bunch of keys. So when I leave the house, I usually carry my house key in a little, and I couldn't find that thing. And Pastor Margie was not home, and I'm going crazy. Now, I have a house. I have all that I need inside that door, but I can't get to it because the door is locked. And I couldn't kick the door in. I needed the key. So, again, prayer is what? Is the key to heaven. But faith unlocks the door. A lot of times we pray, but we don't unlock the door. The door is still locked because we're not praying according to God's perfect will. Does this make sense to anyone? Amen. So, there must be faith. Where does that faith come from? Does it come from hearing the word of God? Uncle Lamb would plead scripture after scripture, reminding him of promise after promise, meaning he was reminding God of promise after promise, pleading these like a lawyer pleads his case before a jury and before a court. So it was not just praying scripture, it was pleading scripture. Somebody used the other day the word pleading here, something about crying and pleading. I thought I heard someone say something like that. I don't know if it was Sunday, something about pleading to God and praying to God and crying out to God. And so, this is the way that this man prayed. He prayed using the Bible as the basis on which his prayers were built. He taught me the secret of intercessory prayer. How can I ever thank God enough for leading me to such a prayer warrior? What happened? With this discovery, God really gave me a new outlook on the Bible. I had not yet learned how to make the Bible my prayer book. It gave me a new motivation for the Bible study. I began to dig in. I would not search the scriptures. I would now search the scriptures, meditate, mark as many promises, memorize. There are thousands of promises, a promise for every need, burden, problem, situation. Young man, learn to plead the promises of God. These words keep ringing in my soul. A practical tip: underline all the promises you read in scripture with a blue pen or pencil. Doing this illuminates the promises and makes looking them up much easier. This is Moody's advice to us back in the 1800s, because that's when he lived. And so he's given us this advice about us reading the promises, underlining them, and then using them to pray. And that's really what I want to do tonight. We're gonna do some prayers that are connected to scripture, and I'm going to give you some scriptures. Amen? So, reminding God of his promises when you pray. God loves it when you pray his promises back to him. He is honored by our faith when we claim a promise that he has made to us. Praying his promise enables you to pray with wisdom and authority. There are many examples in scripture of God's people praying to God by reminding him of the promises he had made to them. Jacob is one of them. Moses is another. Solomon, Nehemiah, and so many other people that reminded God, they prayed to God. Jacob, when he was wrestling with the angel, he reminded God of the promise that he had given him. And so, this is very important. You see an example of effective prayer all throughout Scripture, effective prayer that is connected and grounded on the promises of God. God has made promises to you in his word. We reverently, respectfully remind God of them, and we pray. However, be sure that you interpret the word of God correctly. Amen? So that we are praying promises that are in alignment with God's will for our lives. All right, before we go into the prayer, any questions, any comments? Anything that has not been cleared? Any doubts? Yes. A.M., Uncle Am, Ambrose Whaley. Ambrose, A-M-B-O-B-R-O-S-E, Whaley, W-H-A-L-E-Y. Ambrose Whaley was D.L. Moody's mentor and teacher when it came to effective prayer. Amen. Now, Pastor Margie has something that she wants to share. It's something that we need to pray about. That is, it's happening right now in California. There's an aggressive uh, law that California is trying to pass right now is in the Supreme Court. And Pastor Margie is going to give us a little insight as to what that law and how that can affect us as a nation. And we need to pray promises of God over that situation. Amen. Pastor Margie.
Amen. I'm going to read you, and I don't know, maybe some of you received it from Governor Mike Huckabee. I don't know if you received that. Well, I'll read it anyway. It says, I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. I don't even know how to describe it other than comparing it to a terrible storm that's brewing on the horizon. This time it's not coming from Washington swamp. It's actually on the opposite side of the country in California. You may have heard the news or seen the reports, but people of faith in California are bracing for one of the most dramatic ideological shifts away from the First Amendment in our nation's history. It's the kind of storm that destroys the foundations of liberty and a free society. And this is the name of the bill. It's the AB 2943. AB 2943, a bill overwhelmingly passed by the California Assembly, 50 to 18, and soon will be voted on in the state's Senate, would make illegal any sales of goods or services that seek to change an individual's sexual orientation, behavior, or gender expressions. It prevents faith-led counselors from assisting clients with same-sex attraction or gender confusion. It prohibits churches from holding any ticketed events addressing topics of sexuality. But it is far more reaching than that. This means the sale of any book that states the practice of homosexuality or transgender identification as immoral actions would be illegal in California. This could include the Bible. Sponsors of the bill argue that it will not prohibit the sales of the Bible or other books, but the language of the bill suggests otherwise. Legal experts agree that AB 2943 is so broadly worded in its description of prohibited activities that it can be easily interpreted to stop the sale of goods and services that promote a biblical worldview. This is a massive attack on Christianity and it should alarm us that the constitutional problems inherent in the bill were not obvious to those in the California Assembly. Passage of the bill would mark a significant and rapid decline of religious freedom and freedom of speech as we know it in California. Christian conferences have already been canceled in California and moved to other states. The bill has not even been signed into law yet, and Christians are preparing for the worst. I'm reminded of these words from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. First they came for the communists, but I was not a communist, so I did not speak out. Then they came for the socialists and the trade unionists, but I was neither, so I did not speak out. Then they came for the Jews, but I was not a Jew, so I did not speak out. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak out for me. The ideology that Christians should be silenced is threatening Californians. And if we think we can simply pull out of California, leaving the state to face the consequences of the bill and thinking it won't affect the rest of the country, we are foolishly ignoring the words of Bonhoeffer and the lessons history has taught. What's happening in California is our warning. It's our wake-up call to stand, and it couldn't be coming at a more important time. All 80 state assembly seats in California are up for election this year. 50 of these seats held by members who already voted to approve AB 2943. But it is not just California that is in the midst of an ideological storm. And it is not just California that has the opportunities to do something about it. In 2018, that's this year, over 8,500 elections are taking place across the country. people of faith must mobilize. If we don't stand together and unified for our Judeo-Christian values, we can expect that the ideology that's taking root in California to grow and spread to the rest of the nation. So he's asking for us to pray, to keep it in prayer before it goes for vote to the Senate. You know. So I think we should pray about that. And then Pastor Jay has some prayers that we're going to split up for. But let's pray for this together before we split up. So let's rise. Let's rise and join me in praying for this. You know, the church doesn't want to heed the call to prayer, and it's going to take situations like this that's going to force the church to pray. It really is. They're going to have no choice but to pray.
So let's pray this prayer based on Scripture. What Scripture comes to mind that would be connected to this? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Can you give me that Scripture? Isaiah 54:17? Okay. In other words, we want to start practicing here, guys.
Yes.
We want to stop the prayers that are just wording. We want to pray the word. Number two, 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their sin, then God will do what? He will hear from heaven, he'll forgive their sins, and he will heal the land. So we're praying these two scriptures over this situation. Amen? You going to pray them?
Yeah, you can.
No, go ahead. Yeah. Second Chronicle, yeah. 7:14. Ora por eso. Yeah, come on. Come on.
En español.
Hallelujah.
Now, how many know that two can accomplish more
than one? Hallelujah.
Pray these promises, guys. Let's join them.
Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes and amen.
Amen. Just extend your hands to heaven. Let's just surrender. Let's surrender. We surrender to him. We surrender to him. The Bible said that the weapon of our welfare are not carnal, but mighty. Amen. They're mighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the demolition of strongholds.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what we're going to pray, believing. We're going to pray on the promises, right?
Yeah.
On the promises. Amen? En el nombre de Jesús. En el nombre de Jesús. We agree. We agree. Hallelujah. En el nombre de Jesús.
Yeah.
En el nombre de Jesús. En esta hora. Hallelujah, Padre Santo. Hallelujah. Estamos como un ejército. Dios mío, nos presentamos ante ti, Dios mío, Señor, nos ponemos la armadura, aleluya, de guerreros en esta hora, Dios mío, Señor, y nos paramos en la brecha, aleluya, con el estado de California, Padre Santo, en el nombre de Jesús, yo te pido en esta hora, Señor, que este ejército a través de los Estados Unidos, Dios mío, Señor, a través de esta noticia que posiblemente suena negativa, Padre Santo, pero ahí es cuando el pueblo de Dios, aleluya, intercede, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús. Te pedimos en esta hora, Señor, que tomes posesión, Padre Santo, que tu Espíritu Santo sea controlando las mentes, los corazones, aleluya, de todas estas personas del Senado, aleluya, en California, Padre Santo. Te pedimos en esta hora, Dios mío, que nosotros podamos ejercer, aleluya, el voto cuando tengamos que ejercerlo, Padre Santo, en el nombre de Jesús, Dios mío. Señor, peleamos esta batalla en las rodillas, Dios mío, Señor, esperando, Señor, que tú no
tome control. Aleluya. Tu palabra, aleluya, es verdadera, Padre Santo. Tú eres el mismo ayer, hoy y por los siglos, Padre Santo. Tu palabra va a ser eterna. Tu palabra permanece. Aleluya. Y en el nombre de Jesús, en el nombre de Jesús, aleluya, estamos aquí intercediendo. Aleluya. Intercediendo por esta ley para que tenga que detenerse, Padre Santo. Aleluya. Y declaramos liberación. Aleluya. Declaramos que las cadenas se caen. Aleluya. Por este espíritu de homosexualismo, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, declaramos que esta nación es tuya. Declaramos, Padre Santo, que el ejército tuyo va a prevalecer, que tu palabra prevalece, aleluya, en medio de la tormenta, aleluya, tú prevalece, Dios mío, tú te paras como estandarte, aleluya, porque creemos, confiamos en ti. En el nombre de Jesús, en el nombre de Jesús, en el nombre de Jesús, aleluya. Y no solamente oramos hoy, oraremos mañana y oraremos al otro día y seguiremos orando, aleluya, dando la batalla al enemigo en el nombre de Jesús, intercediendo, aleluya, intercediendo, aleluya, como guerreros de oración. Aleluya, que no desfallezca. La palabra establece orar sin cesar. No simplemente oramos hoy, vamos a seguir orando, aleluya, hasta que veamos resultados, aleluya, en el nombre de Jesús, en el nombre de Jesús. Gracias, Señor. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. I was going to split you up in groups, but the time is really upon us right now, so we're going to have, say, four prayers, three prayers. I want someone to come up here right now, and yes, 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 you can read them right off of this sheet. We were going to give them out, but Jesus Christ and God, through John the Baptist, God promised that there was going to be a baptism that Christ was going to bring, and his baptism was with Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what God promised through John the Baptist, and it was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. I really sense that a lot of the things that are going on in the nation is because the church is losing its fire. And we have taken the Holy Spirit for granted. We have, in a way, grieved the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to be our companion, our guide, but many times we ignore what he's trying to guide us to do. And in many ways and in many places, he's been removed from the church. And so we need for God, that promise that God gave us through John the Baptist, we need a new baptism in this day and age. The church today needs a baptism in Holy Spirit and fire. Not simply Holy Spirit, but fire. Fire means purity. Fire means cleansing. Fire means zeal. Fire means boldness to stand against all these attacks and all these things that the enemy is sending to try to intimidate us. We need a baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. Who's coming up here to make this prayer? And you're going to base it on Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Somebody, there should be a bunch of people really running up here to make this prayer. Should be a bunch of people up here right now to make this prayer. John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he is, who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need to that baptism right now. Right now, the church needs it.
Amen. Father, we totally believe in your word. We believe in your promises. We know, Lord, what you have told us. You said, Lord, that we would need your counselor, that you would leave, but your counselor would come, and that he would guide us in all truth. Yeah. And so, Lord, we are asking for a baptism in your Holy Spirit, Lord, not only for this church, Lord, but every church that has your name, Lord.
Yeah.
We all, as a body of Christ, are in need of, Lord, a shaking up in the Spirit, for revelation in your Spirit, for discernment in your Spirit, to walk in your Spirit, Lord, but with fire.
Yes.
with fire in our gut, like old Roberts used to say.
Yes.
So, Lord, I am just praying, Father, that from the smallest child to the oldest member of this church, that we are all seeking, Lord, in the quiet of our time with you, Lord. We continue to seek your presence, seek your will. Father, baptize each and every one of us, Lord. Those that don't have it, Lord, that need that shaking up, Lord. Lord, baptize them. And those that have let it go dormant and die out in their lives, Lord, shake them up. This Sunday is the day of Pentecost. Lord, what better day than on the day of Pentecost to shake up this congregation? Lord, because with your Holy Spirit and fire will come the signs that the community needs to come to your feet. We pray for this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. The next person is going to pray. Amen. You're going to pray for God to send laborers into the harvest. The laborers are all stuck in the storehouse. We're all in the barn. And if we were in the barn praying, it'd be nice, like Moody. But we're not praying. We're just in the barn. God needs to light us on fire and send us out there to do the work of the harvest, bringing the harvest. Amen. So we're going to pray. Who's going to pray for this one? Promise. The promise that God gave is Luke chapter 10, verse 2. You? Okay. This is what it says. And he said to them, you could even read the verse as you pray. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Promise that God will send
Amen.
Us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for your promises. Lord, I thank you that they are yes and amen. Yeah. Lord, that they're true. And that, Lord, as we speak them out, oh God, you said that faith comes by hearing and hearing your word. And so tonight, oh God, we want to pray for the harvest and for laborers especially, oh God. Lord, I ask right now that we would know the signs of the times. I pray, oh God, that we would know that there's an urgency in the spirit. That just as we can see the weather and we can predict the seasons, we can predict when there's going to be a storm by what the clouds look like, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would help us in the spirit to be able to see in the spirit the season that is upon us. That we would understand the sense of urgency and that it no longer is it time for us, me, no longer is it time for me to sit in the barn anymore. But Lord God, and I just pray for each and every one of us that we'll claim this for ourselves. Oh God, that no longer is it about us just sitting in the barn, entertaining, being comfortable, worrying about ourselves, oh God, but that we would get out of the barn and we realize, Lord, would you open our eyes and allow us to see that the harvest is ready. You're waiting for us. You're waiting for us. We say we're waiting for you, but Lord, you're waiting for us, oh God. And so, Lord, you said that we would if we prayed earnestly to you, oh God, that you would send out laborers into your harvest, Lord. Here we are, oh God. Would you send us? Instead of pointing the finger, oh, send other people. Lord, would you send us? Lord, I pray for a release of finances in the name of Jesus. Yes, maybe there's people that are supposed to be leaving their regular jobs and going out. Oh, God, I ask that you would release finances. Yes. God, I ask that you would open our mouths. Would you set our hearts on fire? Would you open our mouths and allow us to be bold for you, oh, God? That, Lord, we reject the politically correctness that at least I know I walk around with all the time, oh God. Lord, forgive me for always feeling like I'm going to offend somebody, oh God. Jesus, you were all about offending people when you walked this earth, oh God. And so we reject the fear of rejection. Lord, we reject just the fear of being that we would offend someone or that we need to be politically correct, oh God. And Lord, I ask that we would have your words in our mouths, that we would have your word in our heart, that we would have your word in our mind, oh God. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear opportunities that you place before us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, the harvest, God, the harvest in this community, oh God. Lord, we open our eyes, oh God, open our eyes to see the harvest. And Lord, allow us to be the laborers for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Next prayer. We're praying salvation over this community. I know Evelyn prayed in regards to our household and our families, but we want to speak salvation. This is what we want, Isela. Pray for sinners to feel so convicted of their sin that they will call upon the name of Jesus and be saved, based on Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And you could read that in your prayer.
Amen. Father God, we just come before you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word, oh God, because when we are empty of words, Lord, we come to your word, oh God. Lord, we want to claim this word tonight, Father God, of Romans 10:13. Yeah. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father God, we pray for this community, Father God. We know there's hunger, spiritual hunger out there, Father God. The souls are being lost, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that your conviction will draw them, oh God, to their knees, Father God. We pray for God in divine intervention, divine experiences, oh God, where they cannot deny your power. Father God, I pray that you break the chains and the bondages that are keeping people in bondage and from not coming to you, God. Lord, I pray this over Maria, my co-worker, Father God. I pray, oh God, that where she's at in that hospital, Father God, that you bring her to her knees, oh God, where she may come, oh God, and accept you, Lord, that she may recognize that she needs you, Father God, in her life, that she cannot do this, oh God, on her own, that she needs your power, your Holy Spirit, Father God. Lord, we claim salvation over this nation. We claim salvation over this community, Father God. We claim salvation over Bobby, over Sally, over our lost ones, Father God, in this community, Father God. We open these doors, oh God, to them, that when they come, oh God, broken, that we may be filled with your Holy Spirit and power to deposit, oh God, the authority that needs to be, oh God, releasing them, oh God, so that they may be delivered, oh God. Lord, I pray against timidity for us, oh God, that we may walk in boldness, that we may set them free, oh God, that we may set the captives free, oh God, from their bondages. But Lord, I pray for your holy conviction, oh God, that will set them apart, will draw them to this church, oh God. Lord, the harvest is full. We know it, oh God, yeah. And you're calling us to labor, Father God. So I pray that as they come, oh God, that it may not be an inconvenience to us, oh God, that we may sacrifice, oh God, our own desires, and that we may put you first so that they may come to know you, oh God, that they may not see me, my flesh, oh God, or my selfish desire, but they may see you through me, oh God. So I pray salvation, Lord, in this Sunday, oh God, as people may come through those doors, that we may be sensitive to that we may be open to deposit a word of encouragement, a word of hope, oh God, a word of salvation and deliverance, oh God, because only you can do it, not through our strength and our might, but through your power, Holy Spirit. So we claim that over this community, over our nation, oh God, and it will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Final prayer. Final prayer. Promise of reward. And this prayer is connected to pray that we would not grow weary as we do the work of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So pray that we will not grow weary as we do the work of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are our strength, O Father, that you are our high tower in which we stand, O Father God, that as long as we stand, O Father God, on your foundation, that we will never be shaken, O Father God, that you are our strength, O God, that you are our comfort, O God, that we walk by faith and not by sight, O God. We walk with authority, O Father God, knowing, O God, that you are never
that you will ever, forever be with us, oh God. You will never leave us nor forsake us, oh God. So I pray, Father, that we tap into your promises, oh God. We tap into that power. We tap into that authority, oh Father God, that you have given us, oh God, that we may not grow weary, oh Father God. And we pray, Father God, just as your word says, for God is not unjust. It's for those that overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do, oh God. And we know, Father God, that you, oh God, will let us not grow weary, oh Father God, of doing good. For in due season, we will reap the harvest, oh God. As you say, Father God, that there is a harvest out there, God, but the laborers are few. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that the laborers will rise up, oh God. They'll rise up, oh God, for such a time as this, oh Father God, because you are a time, God. And we know, Father God, as long as we trust in you and walk forward, oh Father God, in faith, in power, and authority, Lord, that we will fulfill the promise that you have created us for, oh God. So we tap into your promise, oh God, and we thank you for the things and the mighty miracles, oh God, that you're going to do. Let us walk, oh Father God, with that authority. Let us walk with that armor, oh God. Let us walk, Father God, knowing that no weapons formed against us shall prosper, oh Father God, and knowing that you will always, oh Father God, claim the ultimate victory. And we look forward to that day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, oh God, that there is only one true God in this world. There's only one true God in this universe, oh God, and that is you, oh Abba Yahweh. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. As Pastor Margie concludes his service, I just want to make a plea as a pastor, and that is that whenever we have orchestrated prayer meetings, that we would do everything to the best of our abilities to make sure that we have a promise of God connected to every prayer we lift up from this house to his throne room. Amen. We want to start getting into a discipline, a habit of praying the word of God. I certainly believe, based on the testimony and based on the promises of God, that we're going to start seeing answered prayer much quicker than what we've experienced. So, again, those of you that are leading prayer services in this house, any organized prayer service, do everything to the best of your ability to not simply bring a petition, but to bring promises that are connected to that prayer.